live on an ugly April 15th. Hopefully tomorrow's better. I don't know if I'm counting on it. I think Tuesday will be a nicer weather day, it sounds like. Kim Jones with you until 9. Lori Rubinson comes your way then. It is my pleasure to welcome to the program a guy who does a terrific job. He covers the Jets. You know him well. And that is Brian Costello of the New York Post. What's up, Cos?
Hey, Kim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, your stuff's been great as usual. I just clicked on the website and you have a story with some questions for the Jets or about the Jets as they open. They open tomorrow with the off-season stuff.
Yep.
They can do the strength training for 2 weeks. They get a week later start than the Giants did. Giants have the new head coach. Jets do not. So tomorrow's the day that the teams without new head coaches start, and that includes the Jets. I have an off-the-wall start for you, but it's based on your story.
Okay.
You ask 5 questions, one of which is a good one. Well, they're all good ones. I apologize. They're all good ones. One of which, how many wide receivers does one team need, is genius. They have 16 wide receivers on the roster, but here's my question for you. Is there any chance that that is a clue of which quarterback they are taking because certain receivers might mesh better with that quarterback?
Wow, that's deep. That's digging deep. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think this is Mike Maccagnan just throwing as many things against the
wall.
Well,
then it's too many. Then it's too many.
Some of them are return guys. I'll say that. Like Andre Roberts is on there. Lucky Whitehead. Those guys are kick return guys. The Jets desperately need to find a kick returner, among other things.
Yeah.
So I think some of that bloats the numbers. There's about 3 or 4 guys that I look at as strictly return guys. But, they didn't go out and sign that big free agent wide receiver. They didn't sign Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins. So I think their plan then became just like, okay, let's add some numbers and, you know, let the competition play itself out and see what happens. You know, the biggest thing they get Quincy Enunwa back from last year from the neck injury. And, you know, I think that's probably their biggest addition coming into this year at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I can see that. A few of the non-additions in free agency, I guess, surprised me. And there were guys out there to get. Do you think the Jets just didn't see it as that need, that sort of number one receiver guy?
I think it was a question of the price.
Okay.
You know, you saw what Allen Robinson got. You saw what Sammy Watkins got. I don't think the Jets thought they were worth that much money. They signed Terrell Pryor on the cheap coming off of a bad year in Washington. You know, other than Trumaine Johnson, Mike Maccagnan really went value shopping. You know, he signed guys that were, you know, shorter-term deals. I think Avery Williamson is probably signed for a few years, but everybody else, pretty much, it looks like it's going to be, let's see how they do in 2018, and we'll go from there. That was his approach to free agency. He added 16 players in free agency, so he added numbers. I think they just want to bring them in and have competition at each position and see what happens, but they didn't go out and break the bank for anyone other than Trumaine Johnson.
Brian Costello of the New York Post with me, Kim Jones, here on The Fan. Cos, they gave up some second rounders, as we know, so the Jets have only 2 picks in the top 100 picks of this draft. One is 3 overall, one is number 72, and then they don't pick again until 107. So the big question, what do you think they do 3rd overall?
Well, I think it depends on what happens 1 and 2, but to me, you know, obviously it's definitely a quarterback. And, you know, I think Baker Mayfield, they're very high on him. I could see him definitely going at 3. Now, there's been talk lately of Sam Darnold falling to them. I think that'll be interesting. If Sam Darnold does not get picked 1 or 2, I think the Jets would take him probably. You know, if the Browns go Josh Allen, which has become, you know, all the chatter lately, and the Giants decide to go non-QB or non-Darnold at QB, I think then Darnold could end up on the Jets. If Darnold is gone, I expect it to be Baker Mayfield at 3.
Which is going to be fascinating. If that happens,
yes, it'll be fun for us.
Absolutely, exactly. There is storyline galore back at One Jets Drive. Florham Park becomes a destination that you've got to strongly consider every day. You have to be there every day, but I mean, if you're picking and choosing, you got to really think about going there if Baker Mayfield's the quarterback. And I do think there is a sentiment in that building that that fire he brings is something this team needs.
Yeah, one thing they said last year, if you remember, after the draft, Todd Bowles said he wanted alpha dogs yep. in the building. That was something they felt they lacked, and they got one in Jamal Adams for sure,
mm-hmm.
and they felt like they got a few others. We'll see how that plays out. Adams clearly became the guy, and I think going forward, as he gets older, Jamal's going to be the leader of that defense. You know, he already started doing that as a rookie.
Yep.
They need that on the other side of the ball now. The interesting thing, though, is, you know, there's a lot of alpha dogs that play defense. Offense is usually a little bit more unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think anyone pictures Eli Manning as that alpha dog guy, but, you know, Eli's been a leader for the Giants for a long time. Offense is usually a little bit more understated, not quite as cocky, not quite as brash, other than the wide receiver position. So I'm curious to see whoever Baker Mayfield goes, how it works out, because I can't remember a quarterback that was quite as brash and as cocky as him. That was my takeaway at the combine from talking to him. I was just trying to think of who else kind of talks like that, and I really couldn't come up with anybody that was as cocky as he was during that interview session. So I'm fascinated to see how he does, whether he ends up on the Jets or somewhere else. But he, you know, if he ends up on the Jets, he could be their offensive answer to Jamal Adams on the defense.
Which would be saying a lot. I mean, that you make a good point about that, a good point about yeah. how brash he is. He has said he doesn't want to settle for being a backup.
Right.
So if the Jets, whoever the Jets draft, do you think that player has at least a chance of starting the season opener?
Yeah, they have a chance. You know, to me, I view this like Russell Wilson with Seattle. You know, when they had Matt Flynn there, Tavares Jackson, and then Russell Wilson came in and won the job. Or the Eagles, more recently, with Carson Wentz. They had Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
They had signed somebody else that was a backup there. I can't remember who they signed. They had three guys. And then
right.
Carson Wentz comes in, and he wins the job and they end up trading Bradford to Minnesota. So, you know, I think they go in not expecting him to win the job, but whoever it is, that person will have a chance to win the job.
Yeah, Chase Daniel, I believe, was the one in
Chase
Philly.
Chase Daniel, yep, that's
who,
the other
who
one.
You
yep.
would have thought, you know, might have a chance there too.
Yep.
It's all fascinating. It really is, and the Jets change immediately personality-wise once they bring in that quarterback at number three. I have contended, I'm guessing you agree, but if you don't, that's great, that
right.
you would agree this is, for Maccagnan and Bowles, a 10-year-defining draft pick third overall.
Absolutely. This is it. You know, this is what they've been building toward. You know, obviously, for the last 2 years, I feel like our focus has been on who that quarterback was going to be in this draft. You know, the writing was on the wall last year when they started clearing the roster, clearing some of the veterans,
yep.
and clearing salary. You know, they were pointing toward this year. Obviously, there was all the talk going the last year was, were they tanking? Were they going to go in 16? That kind of stuff. But, you know, they ended up winning 5 games. But clearly the thought has been all along who the quarterback was going to be.
Because you're looking at Miami with, you know, Tannehill coming back from injury. You're looking at the Bills. They signed A.J. McCarron. They may get a rookie as well. You would think they
right.
will draft a rookie at some point. They
yep.
will draft a quarterback, I should say, at some point. We just don't know if they'll go up to get him or not. The Jets, obviously, at third overall. What do you think the Patriots think about this division of theirs?
That they're very lucky. They're in this division with three teams that never seem to be able to get their act straight, you know? I mean, that's the way it's been during the whole Patriots run here. The other teams in the division have gone through quarterback and coach and quarterback and over. It looked like, you know, maybe the Jets were going to overtake them a little while under Rex there, and that fell apart. You've seen a couple little runs here by the Dolphins and the Bills, but, you know, I think Belichick has to be sitting back and laughing at this division, because obviously it's helped them along. They didn't need much help, but it's helped
right.
them along. At least it's basically, you know, they end up with 5 wins in the division that they can almost pencil in every year, you know, give them
yep.
one loss to one of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's definitely helped them through these dynasty years.
It is amazing, the Belichick-Brady force field that has kept these teams from finding a franchise quarterback, from signing one, or from somehow discovering one. Over the last 15 years, I mean, there haven't been that many if you combine the three teams and the AFCs beside the Patriots.
No, and they haven't really even come very close.
Right.
I think maybe the Jets came the closest with Pennington.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, and then he got hurt. you know, and then Sanchez looked like he was going to be okay, and that didn't happen. And Tannehill in Miami really is the only one I can think of there that was a possibility, and he hasn't really taken that step to being that guy. And Buffalo has gone through guy after guy. I mean, they've had more trouble than everybody. So it really is amazing when you sit down and look at the numbers of quarterbacks and coaches that have gone through this division during the last 18 years of the Belichick-Brady run.
Cause, this is Brian Costello of the New York Post with me, Kim Jones, here on The Fan. Cause, did the Mark Sanchez four-game PED suspension surprise you?
It did. That did surprise me because I don't think, when I knew of Mark, that he would be the kind of guy that would use PEDs. And I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt here with what he said. And, he raised some good points, I thought, in his statement about how many times he was tested. And the other thing to me is just looking at it is, quarterbacks aren't guys that you think of with PEDs. I'm trying, if you had told me this in 2011 when he was having shoulder problems and needed shoulder surgery and all that kind of stuff, or 2013 when he hurt his shoulder, it would have been more believable to me. But, Mark doesn't have much mileage on his arm over the last 3 or 4 years. He's not battling injuries, I can't think. So, to me, why he would be doing PEDs at this point doesn't make much sense. So he's why I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because of, what I saw from him when he was with the Jets and know of him. And I'm going to try to believe him here that it was a tainted supplement.
Yeah, I have no issue with anything that you just said. Cause, good job today in the Post, a story that probably took you uncountable hours.
took a while.
Taking the top 15 NFL QBs in the league. They're the guys you would mostly think of based on quarterback rating for the past three seasons. And then you compared them to the guys coming out in this draft. Allen, Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, right?
Right.
Okay,
yep.
So you went everything from height, which is interesting, particularly with the 6 foot Mayfield. Obviously, yep. Breeze is 6 feet tall, Russell Wilson, 5'11". Hand size, which we all freak out over at the combine, which is kind of funny, but not, because it can be a big deal. Wonderlic. Conference that they played in, completion percentage, which is particularly important with Allen, and the number of college starts. So, and college winning percentage. So, and college interceptions. This is a long article. and it's really well done. No, it's really well done. But where are you in terms of a determining factor if you're the Jets making that pick at number three, or the most interesting part of your research if you'd prefer to do it that way?
I think the determining factor, that's going to be in the eye of the beholder. I think that's the lesson I learned from this is that obviously there's no set way to pick a quarterback or people would be much better at it than they are. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to throw all these factors into a blender and, then decide what ratios you want to give them, what's most important to you. The most interesting thing to me was with Mayfield's height, the one you hear all the time is, Russell Wilson did it, Drew Brees did it, so a guy that's 6 feet tall can do it. He can be good in this league. Brees and Wilson have big hands for guys that are that size. They're both over 10-inch hands, which is large. Mm-hmm. Mayfield does not have that. He was like a 9, if you have in front of you. I can't
9 1/4.
Number, 9 1/4-inch hands, which are small. That was interesting to me because it seems like people are fixated on Wilson and Breeze as the examples that this can be done. I would argue those are the outliers.
They're definitely the outliers. Yeah, you would argue correctly there. Yep.
Yeah, that's not the proof that he's going to be good. These are the exceptions to the rule. It's kind of weird to me. That's kind of what we look at with the drafting. And then the other element of that is Josh Allen. People go, Matthew Stafford is 57% at Georgia. Yeah, there's not many other guys, though, that were that low that were successful in the NFL. So,
He's very close to the Hackenberg completion percentage at Penn State as well.
Right, which he's not in the top 15 quarterbacks.
No,
in the
he's
NFL.
Not. He was not among your top 15
no,
based on quarterback rating.
Jets fans would argue that's a reason to stay away. So I think Cleveland completion percentage, with Josh Allen, it's fascinating to me. If he goes number one, that's really fascinating because completion percentage is something that seems to be a telltale sign when you get to the NFL of how you're going to beat it. Guys don't suddenly become much more accurate, it seems like. Stafford is the exception to the rule that he went, he was 57% I think in college and has had a good NFL career. So those were the two things that really stood out to me. And then, you know, the Big 12 conference with Baker Mayfield. That's not a conference that's produced a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL in recent years, and that style of play that they have out there and basically no defense in that league, it's interesting to me whether a quarterback can be successful coming out of that conference. And, when, you know, Baker's not the only guy. Patrick Mahomes is now going to be starting in Kansas City, coming out of a similar situation at Texas Tech. Can guys that come out of that offense really be successful in the NFL is going to be something interesting to watch.
It is. And Mahomes has a cannon, as you know, and is apparently a genius when it comes to the whiteboard and play calling and everything else. So it's going to be very interesting to see Mahomes and possibly Baker, you know, within these next few years. And like you said, how they do out of the same conference with the learning curve and everything else. Great stuff, Kaz. I really appreciate you joining me. Really, really good stuff in the post.
All right, Kim. I appreciate it. I feel like, you know, we're like the honeymooners filling in the rain delay here for the Yankees, right?
Well,
the reruns of the honeymooners on.
Yeah,
Channel
well,
11 the
I got.
Days.
I was on the air at 4. You could have joined me each hour, to be honest
That's
with
how,
you.
I feel like you've been on all day. I've been in the car like 3 times.
You and me both. Then probably every listener out there is like, yeah, enough already. Bring in Lori. Thanks, Kaz.
All right, thanks, Kim.